You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Today we're going through our series called Great Faith. It's all about deepening and strengthening our faith. So whatever state or condition your faith is right now, if you feel like, man, Tom, kailangan ako ni, I need to strengthen my faith, I'm facing something, you know, you've come to the right place. Or even if nothing's wrong, okay, everything's okay, okay, but we all need to grow in our faith, and still, this series is for you. For the past couple of weeks, we've been looking into certain characters in the Bible, particularly those mentioned in the book of Hebrews, so we can learn great faith from them. We talked about the Hebrew believers and how they were able to overcome great challenges, persecutions all around them because of their great faith. We talked about Noah, who was able to endure the mocking of his people and somehow follow and obey God when his promises seemed impossible. And last week, we talked about Sarah. How do we endure great faith? If something seems impossible, seems difficult, or we feel like giving up, how do we endure or have great faith in those times? This installment, we're going to talk about another character in the Bible. I'm pretty sure almost all of us are familiar with this guy. His name is Moses. We're going to look at his life and learn how the great faith from him as well. So if you have your Bibles with you, can you read them to Hebrews 11, verse 23 to 27? Says there in verse 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater than the wealth, than the treasures of heaven. But verse 27, by faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So again, we're looking into the life of Moses, and I'm pretty sure almost all of you are familiar with this guy. Some of you may remember him as the guy who led the Israelites out of slavery from Egypt. You know, the whole 10 plagues thing, and you know, he parted the Red Sea through the power of God and all that. He enabled his people to be free from slavery. Not just that, he was also the man given by God the 10 commandments, which was to be used or applied by the Hebrew people. And you know, Moses did a lot of great things. It is primarily known for those things, okay, the whole Exodus thing. But today, as we look into Moses, we're going to look back at his early years. Before he rescued Israel from slavery, before he led them over the Red Sea, before he received the 10 commandments from God, we're going to look at his early years and still learn great faith from him. Okay, these are some parts of Moses' life that we tend to skim over. Perhaps this will give us greater appreciation of his faith as well. So in Hebrews 11, verse 23, a story starts here. It says here, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. When we say edict here, it simply means decree or executive order. There was this command given from the king, parang a national law or something, to do a certain something. Now, that's, for us, that's like, you know, wearing helmets now, whatever national laws ginaingon sa nation. And for them, this edict that was given to all the Hebrew people was this. Pharaoh commanded all his people, every son that is born to the Hebrews, you shall cast into the Nile, that's the Nile River, but you shall let every daughter live. What was this king's edict, this royal command? It was to kill every infant boy sa Hebrew people. All babies that were male, patyun. That was the king's edict. So if you were a parent, okay, right there and then, in that time, you heard this. Imagine what would you feel? Imagine, no, you have a son with you, newborn, and there's this command, there's this guards, soldiers going around all over your place, going through houses, looking for babies. And if it's a guy, male and baby, they're going to take it away and they're going to throw it into the Nile. They're going to kill that baby. So imagine, if you will, the state of the family of Moses. Basically, Moses says here that they were not afraid of the king's edict. But because the parents of Moses, they were faced with a choice. Much like we are every day, we are faced with a choice. And here lies the great faith lesson that we can learn from Moses. When we talk about great faith, how do we maintain great faith when we're faced with the choice of following God or giving in to what the world says? Over the past couple of weeks, we talk about great faith. Some of you here may have, I want that now. I want to have great faith. I want to apply that to strengthen my faith. But it's not going to happen magically. You know what? One day you wake up and then I have great faith. you will be faced with a choice to follow through and apply your faith or to give up or to give in what the world has to say. Every day of our lives, the enemy or the world or as well will try to do anything and everything for us to give up our faith, for us to not live a great faith. And so we're faced with a choice, and Moses was faced with a choice, much like his parents as well. So we're going to learn how exactly they got through this. It says here in Luke 18, verse 14 as well, let's read this quickly. As for what fell among the thorns, talking about the seeds, or the parable of the seeds, or the sower, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. This talks about that there are people who heard the gospel, receive the gospel, want to grow in faith, but the cares, the pleasures, the worries of the world, of life, choke the plants, choke the seeds, that they cannot bear fruit. What this means for us, church, that the cares, the worries on the world will try to choke your faith. It will try to choke your spiritual life. And we need to learn how to not let that happen. Okay? Much like Moses did not let that happen. Now, going back to their story, again, what was the choice of Moses' parents? It was one, kill their son to save themselves. There would be punishment for defying the king's edict. In their time, in their culture, if you went against the king, royal commands, for sure you would experience severe punishments. So if you want to save yourself, you know, you don't want anything to do with parang, uy, ganang kumabuhi, the easiest way would be to kill their son. Guards, okay, na may anak ka baby dre, pakikuha. That's option A. Option B is save their son. Somehow find a way nga di masakpan ang son nila. And because of that, they may end up getting killed. It puts them into a position that, you know, that threatens their life, the rest of their family. And going back to the verse, says here, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents. His parents chose option B. We're going to hide our son. We're going to protect our son for as long as they could. And that was for 3 months. Now, when we look at that, parang ano man gi-hide nila ang anak nila. What did they go through so far to protect this baby? They had children already. They had 2 other children, but why did they do so? It says here, they saw that the child was beautiful. Not meaning good-looking lang si Moses, parang gaglow ang baby dito. Hindi, dapat protect na to yung bata. But what this means, okay, if you look at in the NLT version, it means he was beautiful in God's sight. Or in other words, God has set his sights on Moses. Moses had something in him. It wasn't his looks or super cute siya nga bata. That's why he saved siya. But no, these parents saw that God had great plans for his baby. There was something in him. God had set his eyes on him. God had a great purpose and a plan for him. And that was why they didn't want to just let this baby be killed, be thrown into the Nile. Okay, by faith, trusting in God, okay, his parents, Moses' parents, hid him and protected him. And you might think, diba, if by faith they were not afraid of the king's edict, why did they hide Moses? Diba, wala mo na hadlok. Ano wala nang ipakita sa nan? I'm not afraid of you, king. Here's my son. I'm gonna raise him. Why did they do so? Why did they hide him? Parang contrasting lagi. Now, here's the thing. Trusting God does not mean taking reckless chances. It doesn't mean that when you trust God, you don't use wisdom or you don't use your head. These parents, the very fact pa lang that they defied the king by raising their kid, hiding it, put their lives on the line. For sure, they felt fear, you know, for their lives and for their kid. But they felt all the more fear of losing their child. But whatever fear they felt, that was not their driving force or their motivation. If you go back to the verse, it was by faith. Faith was their motivation. Yes, human as they were, they probably felt fear. I mean, can you imagine if you were a parent that time, nakay baby? For all of you here, parents, you know babies are not quiet. Diba? But babies, it's hard to keep them quiet. Diba? Parang imagine na mo, hilak na kadyod ang baby, madunggan silingan, madunggan ang gwardya. Ay, unsa itong hilak? Baby, pak, patay. It could have been that easy. Imagine the difficulties this family had to endure to try and hide their baby. It wasn't easy. And yet they did so. And fear was not their main motivation. It was their faith. Them trusting in God, because they knew that God had set his sights on Moses. God had a special plan for Moses. Now, as we jump into the story of Moses, you know the story about how he was saved. He was eventually put in a basket. He floated over the Nile River. He was found by the Pharaoh's daughter, and he was saved. Okay, he was brought up by the Pharaoh's daughter. Okay, it says here in Acts 7, verse 21, and when he was exposed, Pharaoh's daughter adopted him and brought him up as her own. So that rescues him, Moses. Verse 22, and Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in his words and deeds. So Moses grew up in the household of the Egyptians as well. He was instructed, trained in the royal courts. From a baby who was seemingly about to be killed, in a rescue siya, and now he's living in the palace. He's like the grandson of the Pharaoh now. That was his sort of title now. And so that was his life. Now when we fast forward years later, about 40 or so years later, Moses, Hebrews 11, verse 27 says, "By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." Now, parang pause, wait muna. Diba? Moses was rescued, saved, put in this great life inside Egypt. Okay, he's living the life na, parang okay naman na life niya. Why did Moses have to leave Egypt? What's happening here? Why did he leave this behind? What's happening? Why naman kailangan he left behind what seems to be a comfortable, good life? Parang okay na to ah, royalty. I mean, whom you hear, you dream of being royalty at one point in your life. Diba? You dream na one day na mayingon na ako, you're the long-lost granddaughter of a king or a king, okay, something. Moses was royalty at this time, but he left. And why was that? Exodus 2 verse 11 to 14 gives us a picture of the incident that happened. It says here, one day when Moses had grown up, he went out to his people, the Hebrew people, and looked on their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his people. He looked this way and that, nadandalaw siya, parang look both ways before crossing. Seeing no one, he struck down the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. He basically killed someone. Verse 13, when he went out the next day, behold, two Hebrews were struggling together. And he said to the man in the wrong, "Why do you strike your companion?" He tried to mediate the situation. And in verse 14, he answered, "Who made you a prince and judge over us? Do you mean to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" Tan, tan, tan. Okay, bistos in Moses. Then Moses was afraid and thought, "Surely the thing is known." Paray, okay, nay nakadungog, nay nakabantay. Okay, nay nakita, people knew what I did. And then when you go back to verse 27, that's why he left Egypt. Now again, here we have this other contrast. It says here, Moses was afraid. But in the next verses here, not being afraid of the anger of the king. So which naman? Okay, parang this seeming contrast once again in Moses. But the key to understanding this verse is this word called endure. It says here, he endured as seeing him who is invisible. What does it mean? It means that it wasn't fear that caused him to leave Egypt. It was endurance. Again, much like his parents, ang motivation, ang main driving force and motivation ni Moses was not out of fear. Yes, he probably felt fear. You know, his secret was blown out. People knew what he did. He felt fear for that. But his motivation, running force to leave was not fear. When we say endurance, endurance on what? Because endurance implies the presence of something difficult. When you endure, diba, it's like, you know, when you have to study long hours to pass an exam. Or when you have to lift weights to exercise. Or when you're rock climbing or climbing something, you're enduring the pain. Enduring means something difficult. And for Moses, he endured something difficult. He went away into exile. Okay, he didn't go to a vacation. He left his home at this time. Hebrews 11 verse 27 says, he endured as seeing him who is invisible. What does it mean? NLT version gives us a picture. It says here, he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. In other words, when he says he endured, Moses endured in a sense that his focus on God drove him out of Egypt. He was focused on God, seeing him was invisible, and that was his main force. Lord, I want to follow you to where you called me. His motivation was his focus in God, reward and not fear. Think about it this way, okay? When we say he was not afraid of the anger of the king, imagine, you know, a prisoner of war, and you're in a war camp. You're a prisoner, diba? Prisoners would want to be free. Now, they would have fears, good, if they were captured, if they tried to escape. But whatever fear they might have, if they try to escape, their motivation is not just fear. They want to experience freedom. They want to be free. They want to go out there and escape. The same thing with Moses. If he stayed in Egypt, then for sure, his motivation would have been fear. To hide this stuff away, to try and figure out and hide it from the king. But because he was not afraid of the king's anger, he did not fear what the king would do, would react when he would leave, he left Egypt. Now, why did he leave Egypt? Why was he able to do so? Was this some spur of the moment, last minute decision na parang, okay, pa, when I was in Egypt, malang good. Let's go back a few verses, starting with verse 24 again. Let's go back a few years into the life of Moses that led him to this point that he was able to leave Egypt. Why would Moses go through all of this knowing that he was raised in royalty? It says here in Acts 27 verse 22, Moses was again instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. He was brought up in an Egyptian royal house. But why did he leave all of this behind? It says here in Exodus chapter 2 verse 9 to 10, when we go back to that moment where Moses was rescued from the Nile River by the Pharaoh's daughter, it says here, and Pharaoh's daughter said to her, the sister of Moses, who was following closely, take this child away and nurse him. Okay? Because the Pharaoh's daughter was like, I need to find someone who would nurse him, take care of him. Take care of him for me, and I will give you wages. Basically, the girl called his mother. That is the mother of Moses. And the woman took the child and nursed him. When the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. In other words, the point wherein Moses became the son of the Pharaoh was at a time when he was older. He wasn't a baby yet. His mother nursed him, raised him. Basically, in some ways, his mother most probably taught him in his ways, taught him about the Hebrew people. Because it says there that Moses, in the book of Exodus, says that he visited his people. How would he know what ang people niya? Diba? How would he know that then these are my people, that they are oppressed and all that? He was for sure taught up and raised by his parents. Basically, Moses was able to untangle the seemingly lies and the seemingly things that were taught to him by the Egyptians. Yes, he was brought up in the royal court of Egypt, but he didn't let that get to his head. We're going to learn a few verses after this, how Moses lived his life even though he was in the royal court. It says here in Hebrews 11 verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. When you're the son of the Pharaoh's daughter, you're the grandfather of the Pharaoh, you're part of the royal household, it basically means he refused this identity given to him by the Pharaoh. He refused power and privilege. Moses refused all of these things which he could have had access to. And he grew up, okay, refusing all of these things. Okay, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And what's my point in sharing all this, church? The point is, as we live our lives, I talked about choices a while ago. The world will try to offer, tempt us to give up our identities. To try and trick us that we need some other kind of identity to feel love, to have power, to feel secure in our lives. But church, may we be reminded that our identity is secured in Christ. If you're a believer, a follower of Jesus, your identity in Christ tells you that you are more loved and affirmed than you ever dared believe, that you are blessed, that you don't need to seek another kind of identity. That meaning, regardless of your family name, your background, your educational background, where you are right now as a follower of Christ, your identity is secured in Him. And you don't need to trade that identity away for something else. Okay, if you remember, there's this story in the book of Genesis, okay, the sons of Isaac, Esau and Jacob. Okay, Esau came home one day, gutom siya, and his younger brother tricked him. Now, soup, okay? Here's soup or here's food. Give me your birthright. Because as the eldest, Esau had the birthright. Right? Parang the prime inheritance of everything, that he was gonna succeed Isaac. And you know, see Esau, because he was hungry, with no thought, traded away his birthright. Traded away what was his, given to him by birth, his identity. Traded it away to Jacob for a bowl of soup or food or whatever it was. The point is, church, may we not trade away our identities. Your identities in Christ, that access you have with God, your relationship with God, do not trade that away. That's what Moses did. He didn't trade away his identity. He refused to be called son of the Pharaoh's daughter. And he chose, or it says here, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. So Moses, he chose to associate himself with the oppressed people, with the slaves, the Hebrew people. I mean, think about this. If you were Moses, parang royalty, elites, influential people, rich people, company, the king and all that, he traded it all away. He'd rather choose to spend his time or to be associated with the Hebrew people, the lowly slaves at this time, the people. And he says here, choosing that than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. It doesn't mean that he experienced pleasures of sin. And at this time, it simply means that it was practiced in this area, in this time. What this means is that Moses chose to be mistreated than to give in to the desires of his flesh. Enjoyment, satisfaction, enjoyment, pleasure. There was excitement in feasting and revelry, in sensual gratification, in wealth and splendor, in a life without God. All of this, the celebrations, the whatever pleasures there may be in Egypt, Moses was like, nope, I won't have any of that. I'd rather experience hardships with these people. He chose suffering over pleasure. One thing we can learn from his church is that what's pleasurable for us might not be pleasing to God. There are times in life when you have to choose between choosing this and that. This seems pleasurable. This seems nice. You know, we want this. Enjoy siya, chada siya in our eyes. We want to experience it. It will give us a good sensation or whatever that is. But here's the thing. What's pleasurable for us may not be pleasing to God. Not everything that is pleasurable, enjoying, is pleasing to God, is good in the eyes of God. And here's the thing. If you go back to the verse, it says here, the fleeting pleasures of sin. Those pleasures of sin, that sin tempts us to be, that, you know, enjoy, this is nice. It's fleeting. It may make you feel pleasure or enjoyment, but passing through lang. For only a moment lang. Because it's fleeting, and after that, it will leave you wrecked. It will leave you devastated. It will leave you with nothing. Sin is a trap that traps you with pleasure. Have you ever tried magdakop mo chicken ba or whatever animal na may i-bait? Have you ever tried that? When I was younger, my family, because na yung mga nag-roam ra nga chicken sa backyard na mo, we'd try to leave food in a certain place and namin naka-ready nga trap sa mga manok. And you know, we'd leave food there and the chickens would come. You know what? Sin is like that. It traps us with something pleasurable, something that seems nice and enjoyable. And when we get caught in sin, we suffer the consequences later on. We don't see right away the consequences. We only see the seemingly pleasurable thing. But when we experience sin, and after the enjoyment has passed, what's left is suffering. What's left is that feeling of regret. So may we not choose everything that's pleasure, and maybe be wise in detecting, is this pleasing to God? Is this not pleasing to God? Much like Moses. Going on in verse 26, he considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. Because as royalty, Moses was wealthy. Okay, he was part of royalty. He had access to wealth. Gold, okay, material possessions. We're talking about material wealth here. Now there's nothing wrong or there's no problem in possessing money, wealth, possessions, okay? By all means, believe for prosperity for you and your family. But the problem is when it possesses you. There's nothing wrong with earning a great amount of money or, you know, God prospering and blessing you immensely. But the problem is when your material possessions possess you. When you get caught up with materialism, but everything revolves around the hoarding and acquiring wealth. And for Moses, he considered the reproach of Christ. He considered the punishment of being a follower of Christ, of having to suffer with his people. He deemed that greater wealth, that is worth more than all the treasures, all the gold in Egypt. There are times in our lives that when we have to choose to suffer for Christ or not, and to enjoy and take something that's pleasurable or something that we want to have, there will be times when you'll be faced with that decision. Am I going to suffer for Christ? Am I willing to endure this for the sake of honoring God? Or, diliko, I'm going to do this because it's easy, it's pleasurable, it gives me wealth and all that. I'm going to do this because it satisfies me. It seemingly satisfies me. We will be faced with that decision. But for Moses, his stance was, you know what? Suffering for Christ, for following God, it's worth more than all the wealth, treasures in heaven. Again, take note, he was like a prince of Egypt at this time. He was wealthy at this time. And he said, that's nothing compared to suffering Christ, suffering with Christ. So if you look at the big picture, okay, of Moses, okay, from verse 24 to 26, says here that he had all of these perks, identity through the son of the Pharaoh's daughter, pleasures of sin, celebrating, partying, all of these things, regardless of wala si God, and treasures in Egypt. He had all of these seemingly good perks. And yet what Moses did was that he refused, he chose, and he considered, and he came to the conclusion that I don't want any of those stuff. He refused to be called the son of the Pharaoh. He chose to be mistreated than to enjoy pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach, the punishment for following Christ, worth more than any treasures in Egypt. And you might ask, how was he able to do this? Perhaps some of us here today, we've been faced with those choices, faced with those dilemmas. Parang lisod kayo ipili. I mean, yeah, you know what's the right choice. Maybe parang tempting lang jud kayo kaning other option. Why was Moses able to choose wisely or refuse of these things? It says here in the first part, by faith. When the world tries to mold us, tempt us, say, you know what? Don't follow God na, follow this na. How do we say no to that? By faith. By faith, Moses refused. By faith, Moses chose to be mistreated. By faith, Moses considered the reproach of Christ. By faith, he was able to do all of these things. Because what is faith again? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. He was sure, he has had this conviction to not give in to those things and rather choose something else. Hebrews 11 verse 6, still talking about faith, says, without faith it is impossible to please God. Whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. In other words, going back to Moses, by faith he was looking to the reward. He was able to refuse all of the seeming perks given to him by Egypt because by faith he was looking to the reward. He was looking at something else and that reward was God. He was looking at something else, and that goes with us, church. When we are tempted by all of the offers of the world, this seemingly another identity, you know, pleasures, treasures, when we are being tempted and faced with all of these things, by faith, we can overcome these things when we look to the reward. And not any material reward, but when we look to Christ. When we look at the reward that is Him and our salvation that is in Him. When we looked at that, we will be able to overcome those things and maintain great faith. That is why faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things unseen. We may not be able to physically see God, but we know when we look to Him as our reward, when we know that we have a better reward, far better than what the world has to offer, by faith, we will be able to overcome all of this. If we will let that reward in Christ, in God, if we find delight in that, if we say, Lord, my eyes is fixed on that, we will be able to say no to all of these things. So a couple of things before I end, you know, a couple of things we can learn from the life of Moses as I wrap this up. Firstly, your faith is shown by the choices you make. The quality of our faith, what our faith truly is, it's tested and it is shown by the choices we make. For Moses, it says here, by faith, he left Egypt. He said no to all of these things. He left Egypt. And what this means for us, church, you know, we may not physically live in Egypt, right? But because Egypt here is basically can mean whatever that the world is offering us, whatever the world is tempting us, whatever is not pleasing to God, but seemingly we're dwelling on it. Seemingly, parang we're considering to follow it. But by faith, okay, if we want to know the quality or what our faith is, then we need to choose. What is your Egypt? What are those things, choices in your life that you know you have to make a decision? You know you have to choose. Some of us here today, it's a hard choice. But by faith, we can choose, like Moses, to look at the reward, look at Christ, look at God, and leave that Egypt, to leave behind what the world is offering us. Because we know what God is offering is far greater than what the world has to offer. Point two, the choice to obey God by faith may result in short-term suffering, but will also result in eternal blessings. What's my point in saying this? When Moses chose to follow God, when he chose not to stay in Egypt and experience all the things, the perks of being in Egypt, when he chose that, he experienced suffering. It says here, he considered the reproach of Christ, the punishment of Christ. I mean, this guy left Egypt, left a comfortable life, the seemingly good life. He left all of that behind, went into exile. That's not a vacation. He experienced hardship. When he went back to Egypt, he experienced hardships there as well. I mean, can you imagine that what the drama that would have happened when he left Egypt. Imagine if you were Pharaoh's daughter and you realized that the son you raised and adopted left you, okay? Left Egypt, doesn't want to be acknowledged as your son. Imagine the drama there, what this guy had to go through. He went through a time of suffering, of challenges. When we follow God, when we choose what is right, it doesn't automatically mean that everything's going to be okay. Lord, I follow you. So it's going to be all rainbows, sunsets, and beautiful life after. Life is not filled with rose petals. Everything's okay when you follow God. Hindi siya hakuna matata. There will be challenges, difficulties, even when you chose the right thing. But here's the thing. Much like Moses, wherein he was looking to the reward, when you choose to follow God, when you choose to obey God, you may experience a temporary pain and suffering, but at the end, you'll experience eternal rewards. You'll experience the greater reward. And that right there is what we can learn from Moses, a guy who was able to choose between what the world had to offer and what God had to offer. In our church, if you're here today, my simple hope and prayer is that by faith, we would choose to follow God. Amidst all that is thrown at us, amidst whatever situation that may we choose to obey and follow God.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.